Hello, this is Robert Middleton of Action Plan Marketing and the Action Plan Marketing Club, and today I'm interviewing Gary Slavin. Hi, Gary, how you doing?
Just great, Robert. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it.
I'm excited to have you on this call. Our topic is aligning your goals to create life-work balance, and goals are really important, especially at the beginning of the year, so this is perfect for this particular interview. Before we get into the interview, let me just go over a little bit of information about Gary. Gary Slavin, author of Plan Your Success, Turn Your Dreams into Reality, has been working with successful organizations as an independent consultant since 1986. He's assisted them in determining the best methods for taking their companies to the next level, launching new products and services, or finding unique ways to put life back into and maximize profits for existing profit lines. He works with management in developing and implementing business plans, marketing and sales strategies, and then conducts training seminars to ensure that staff members in all departments have the necessary skills to accomplish corporate goals. Gary has presented seminars to all types of professionals at varying skill levels. Participants attending these seminars have called him a training powerhouse who exhibits endless energy and enthusiasm. His understanding and love of the subject matter enables him to deliver the best training seminars in the business. Let's get started, Gary. When did you first become aware of the importance of aligning business and personal goals to achieve success?
Interesting question, and I almost wish I could say that it was somewhere within my consulting career, but it was actually within my own career.
Uh-huh.
I spent 17 years working for other companies and got to a certain level of success on my own, but I was never really got the sense that I was successful, even though, and I'm sure you probably share this to me, success is a journey, not a destination, so you never really get there. You're always getting better, but I was never really totally satisfied with what I was accomplishing. And I kind of actually took a step back and thought, what am I trying to accomplish in my life and why aren't I doing it in my business? And it brought me back to when I was in college, I told myself I was going to work for 2 years and start my own business.
Mm.
So one of my personal goals was to always have my own business. And we actually lost sight of that. I mean, 17 years isn't 2 years. So
you'd been working for other companies for 17 years.
Before starting my own business.
And so even though you had success, it wasn't in alignment with your bigger goal to be on your own.
Exactly. And when I finally woke up to that was when I was a marketing director for another company, finding that I was very successful for this company going, what I really wanted to accomplish was to be able to do this for more than just one organization. And the only way to do that was to start my own business, and I started out as a marketing consultant. And that was when I first got the sense of, you don't really feel successful. You're not really satisfied with what you're accomplishing unless you both can balance what you want to accomplish in life and what you're doing towards accomplishing that in life with what you're doing with your business. And then one of my first clients, hired me to assess where they were and to take them, to the next level of success, which is kind of what I was doing as a business consultant when I first got started.
Right.
They had a training company that was, very closely held, was, two partners. The company had been successful. And when I first met with them, they discussed, we've been stuck at the same level for years. Neither individual really seemed to be satisfied with where they were. But when I took a look at, assessing their organization, they were a successful company.
Mm-hmm.
So what I asked them to do was explain to me in our first meeting, what are your goals in life and how are you trying to accomplish what it is you want to accomplish in your personal life with your business? And that's when it kind of really exploded my realization of the life-work balance because as we dug deeper and to determine, what it was that was driving each individual, their personal goals and what they both wanted kind of really differed from what the business was achieving. And neither individual was happy, yet they had a successful business.
Well, that's interesting because that's where they are, but they weren't necessarily communicating that, right?
Correct.
So they were kind of assuming, here's our business, we're working in our business, but you brought out the unspoken goals of where they wanted to go.
And what they found out, and they were both very good friends, but they found out that, their directions in their personal life were totally opposed. And,
both of them?
Yes. And, and each of them was trying to accomplish something with the business. And actually, you could see where the business was kind of taking a kind of that fork in the road, and they were tugging at each other. And they didn't recognize that until we actually sat down and I asked them to take a step back and put down, what are your personal goals? What is it that you're trying to accomplish in life that you want the business to be able to fulfill for you?
Right.
It was and that really poured on, that brought the light on for me. And ever since then, that's one of the first things I do when I sit down with independent professionals, is I ask them, you know, what are your personal goals? What is it that you want to accomplish in life? And how are you anticipating that your business can fulfill that for you?
Right, or fit into it, or align with it in some way, right?
Correct, yes.
Because, for instance, so you could have a goal, I've really wanted to travel around the world, but my business doesn't allow that, so that could be an issue, right?
Exactly.
So it could be anything as far as their personal goal. So that's interesting. Now, did you come up with a process from there? How did you develop this, and how do you work with clients with this?
I did, and actually my first process I came up with was strictly just a strategic planning process.
Uh-huh.
And what I realized when I came up with that strategic planning process that really just focused on the business. As I started working with more and more independent professionals, that really wasn't accomplishing what they totally needed to accomplish to achieve that life-work balance. And as I mentioned, when the light went on, I realized if they don't accomplish the life-work balance, they're unhappy in their personal life, and even if their business is going well, they don't look forward to going to work every day.
Right.
It really just becomes more and more of a drudgery to, you know, and that's what I found fascinating, as I said, what really brought me to realize that the importance of aligning your goals to create that life-work balance is that I worked with these, I really try to select companies that are already successful, and they're looking to, how do we get to that next level of success? So I know I had individuals that had successful businesses, and yet they weren't happy coming to work every day.
Right. And what's the good of that, right?
Exactly.
So can you give me an example or two? Because I think this is very interesting and very relevant to everybody here.
Again, one of my, might even have been my very first client. He was, how do I explain? He was starting this. This was back when we had twin floppies, PCs with twin floppies.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Dyson floppy salesman on the side.
Right.
And it became very successful. He was a trainer, and he had to leave the training business to focus 100% of his time on the Dyson business. He actually became an AT&T Master VAR. So he had this very successful, I don't know if you remember, it was back in the mid to late 80s, where AT&T actually was selling PCs.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he had, it was a multi-million dollar business, and still struggling to come to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we sat down, and he brought me in to put together a business plan for him.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, one of the first things I said was, George, what I want to do before we put together a business plan for your corporation is to find out what is it that George wants to accomplish in life that he's utilizing the business to help him achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was when I came up with then this, not only the planning process, which is a four-step process, part of the first step in the process is to take your dreams or aspirations and write them out as goals. So,
uh-huh.
You know, what are your personal goals? The next step then is to come up with the business goals. The third step is to then align your business and personal goals. If they're not aligned, as I mentioned, you know, you may have a successful business, but you're not going to be happy with it in your personal life. You're not going to be happy in your personal life. So you have to make sure that they're aligned. And once you've done that, then you can then expand both plans. If that answered your question, I wasn't.
Yeah, sure. It does. That's it. So, you know, I'm kind of seeing this on two levels. Level number one is for everyone listening, they should be getting, I need to be clear on my personal goals as well as my business goals, or I'm going to stop, really, the forward progress in my business. And that seems to be something that you observed in a lot of your clients, right?
You almost sense that what they've done is hit a brick wall. It's
yep.
They start getting this this feeling of, why am I doing this? Which is, it's strange to hear that from, you know, successful independent professionals.
Yeah, they're making a lot of money, they're doing okay, but there's no satisfaction.
Exactly. And there's no sense of, you know, why am I going through all this effort? I'm going home at night with, you know, headaches, and I'm unhappy, and I don't want to come to work, and what's the problem?
It's interesting, because you hit on something that is very deep, and yet your approach to it, in a way, is very simple. It's like, okay, let's look at the personal, let's look at the business and align them. So can you give me an idea of how exactly do you align them?
What you have to look at is, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an actual case study. A friend of mine
Great.
Who was in dental school.
Yep.
And one of the reasons I use this example is I come from a family of dentists, so I have a very good appreciation for what it takes to run a dental practice, which
Right.
it is a lot of time.
Yep.
And this friend of mine, while he was still in dental school, realized one of his life goals was to have a family and enjoy his family life. And in talking with me, this was actually, you know, reflecting back, this was before, you know, either one of us actually got into business. And so maybe subconsciously, I had already had this idea of the importance of life-work balance, or maybe I got it from my friend who was in dental school. Because he actually turned to me saying, you know, you've got a whole family of dentists, and, you know, I realize how much work is involved in setting up a practice, and how is that going to align with my wanting to spend quality time with my family? Because he knew my father had, you know, put in a lot of hours and wasn't home a lot, but that worked for us. It wasn't going to work for him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, long story short, you know, what he finally decided was, there's a couple options. You could walk into a dental practice that already exists, so it's already started up. You know,
right.
You can put in, you know, just X number of hours that you want to put in and start building your practice. Or you could work for an association or administration. He decided to work for the Veterans Administration, where he worked 9 to 5.
Really? As a dentist?
As a dentist. He worked 9 to 5. He had a set salary that was, and, you know, and that's one of the things, too, you've got to look at is, you know, how does the monetary aspect, you know, tie into your life? What do you want to earn to reach some of your life goals? And,
yeah.
and how much do you need? And he was very satisfied with having, first of all, a set salary, but he also had a pension.
Yeah.
Which was something that tied into one of his life goals was, you know, he wanted to be able to retire at an early age, which, you know, my father did not. You know, as an independent, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
And so what he took a look at was, okay, one of the things I want to do is I want to be able to retire early, but at the same time, I want to be able to spend quality time with my family, yet I know I want to be a dentist. And in just looking at that on the surface, they didn't seem to match.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He went to try and find something on the business side, a business goal that would align with his life goals, which was to work for the Veterans Administration.
Yeah, and that's very interesting. And of course, that was his solution. There could have been other solutions for other people, but it's really finding that right match, and he was able to do it.
Yes. Now, another solution, using that same example, was my cousin, who joined my father's practice. His startup time and his hours were whatever he wanted to be because there was already going practice there.
Right. Yeah, and of course, you know, there's something in business that we kind of think automatically, more is better, more clients are always better, more money in the door is always better. And something I've realized is that is not true. And so how I constructed my business is to work with a very, very limited number of clients at a higher end, so I work less hours, but I make very good money, instead of, you know, just working my tail off 24 hours a day. I mean, I couldn't do that. So I had to find a structure of my business that I was helping a limited number of people in a very deep way. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways to structure this, because I want, like you said, I want free time, I want family time, I want time to do things other than just business.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
and then there are people that, you know, business is really what drives them, and that's all they want to do is work.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And so maybe you don't get married. You know, or let's
yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't bring names into it, but you know, look at like a Donald Trump.
Right.
Who in my estimation is a workaholic. And how many times has he been married?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
Cuz he just can't he can't get those to work. Gee, maybe I should, you know, have him call me and work on his life work balance.
Oh yeah, Donald listens into all these calls. He needs this really a lot, and maybe he does. So, is there anything else that differentiates this process from other planning methodologies? Or Tell me a bit more about that.
Well, the goal alignment is definitely the major differentiation. I did a lot of research when I came up with this process to come up with, as you said, a very simple process, and it is very simple. Not to go too far back in my life, but in high school and college, people always called me the master of the obvious, which nothing wrong with that, but sometimes people, you know, don't see what's right in front of them. So alignment was one of the critical ones. I didn't see that in any of the research that I've done. And it's something that I've gotten a lot of attention in the last couple of years with from not only life balance, but within a corporation, from department to department, aligning goals so that the corporation is, you know, everyone's walking down the same path. So that's probably the key one. But there's basically three others. And one is the fact that, I'll mention all three, and then if you want, I can go into detail on all of them, but it's an outline. Either the strategic plan that we put together, the business plan, or your life plan is an outline. It's not a bunch of prose. Second, as I said, was the goal alignment. Then implementation. When you look at most strategic planning procedures, and you talk to most of these purists in planning, planning is one process, implementation is another. And to me, I think that's kind of crazy.
They really all have to fit together, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you don't implement, I mean, all the great plans in the world just sit on shelves. If you don't implement them, what good is it? So I made that a part of my process. And a key element in that, the fourth differentiation, is what I call a war board. You can call it a task chart or a master to-do list, which is something that... You discussed it, I think, in this week's eZine. It's another method for time management.
Right.
You had a very good method that you talked about in the December one of your eZines.
Yeah, and we actually did a coaching call on this, which you list all your projects and really see the balance between all your projects. It's not just one list of things, it's sometimes 10 lists of things for various projects.
Right. Well, backing up a little bit, the outline is nothing more than your goals, and then you break down your goals into objectives.
Yep.
The objectives then break down into the strategies that you need to accomplish those objectives,
mm-hmm.
and then every strategy has to have a set of tactics so that you can accomplish those strategies.
Right.
The tactics then become your war board,
mm-hmm.
and it become your daily, weekly, monthly, however you want to set it up, to-do list. And one of the things I talk about with my clients, this doesn't differentiate the plan, but the war board, the tactics check, really does eliminate headaches. Because one of the things I always ask my clients is, do you have a business plan? Do you have a marketing strategy? They all say, yes, I do.
Yes.
And then I say, well, can I see it? Well, it's in my head.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, I kind of chuckle at that, but one of the things I do in trying to obtain them as a client is I say, I'll tell you what, I really do believe you, and it's probably an excellent plan, but one of the things I want you to think about for me is the first time you get a call from one of your clients or a vendor, and they either cancel an order or cancel a shipment, let me know how bad your headache is when you're driving home when you reorg that entire plan in your head. And it's interesting, Robert, 80% of the time I'll get a call back.
Really?
They'll go, what do you have, ESP or something? So what do you mean? Well, you know, the day that we talked about that, such and such called, and they actually canceled an order. I was distraught initially, but driving home, trying to reorg my entire plan for the week, the month, whatever they said, I really did have a headache. When can you come in and explain to me how we can document this plan?
That's a great maxim. Plans inside your head will create headaches.
Oh, absolutely.
As opposed to writing them down on paper and have them definite and be able to share it with everybody and all that stuff. Now, you know, for most of the people on this call, we're independent professionals. We run our own projects. We're not huge businesses, but we still have a lot of things that we need to do. Can you tell me a little bit more about this breakdown that you talked about, which is goals, and define your terms a bit more. Goals, objectives, strategies, and tactics.
And goals have to be SMART goals, right? Specific.
Measurable.
Right.
What's A? SMA is attainable?
It's SMART, right. Attainable, realistic, and there has to be a time frame.
Time frame, right.
And One caveat here that I'll say is that if you really do an excellent job at putting together SMART goals and they're focused SMART goals, you could actually skip objectives.
Uh-huh.
But most times what happens is you'll have a goal, even though it's a SMART goal, it's still very broad.
Yes.
And so if it's broad, what you want to do is then break it down into more measurable objectives. So your objectives are still measurable. They're not totally SMART, but they're more, when it needs to be accomplished, you know, what it is, how you're going to measure that it actually took place and when. So you've got kind of just the measurement in the time portion of that goal. So you break down your goals. The strategies then are, strictly what is it that we're going to do to ensure that these objectives are met. So it's things like, a strategy could be a weekly e-sign, or I'm going to put out, two press releases every month. What are those strategies?
Or networking, et cetera.
Correct.
And for the people listening to this, if you're in the club, you just go to the Fast Track program, and we have a whole section on action planning. So you're pretty much aligning with the action planning process. Sometimes the words are a little different, but essentially it's like, what do you want to do? What's your big purpose? What are your other objectives? And then what's your approach to it? Like, as you said, networking or speaking or whatever. And then that breaks down to what are the steps or tactics you will actually do in the next week or two to make it happen.
Absolutely. And, people have a very difficult time when I talk about the strategy. They kind of look at me like, well, those are my tactics. And they're not, because you really do then break those strategies down into, as you just mentioned, it's every day, what is it that I need to do? And when it's on the business side, you even want the tactic to have individual responsible for getting it done, when it's going to be done, and a budget assignment if there is a budget to it.
Absolutely.
And then when you've got this war board, it makes the execution that much easier, because you've got it. I actually suggested to a lot of my clients is put it up on the wall in your office. And so every day when you walk in the office, these are the tasks that we know we need to accomplish today. And it's really, a chart where you've got the individuals on the left-hand side, the tasks across the top, and then each cell is the date that it's got to be accomplished by.
That's great. I wish I could do that in my office. I have zero wall space. I've always wanted to do some kind of a board, and I just can't. So I do paper charts, but, various things to do that.
The task chart really takes the tension out of having so many tasks to complete.
Right.
And what it does, it relates everything back. You actually then know, without having to look back, that every task relates back to a strategy, which relates back to an objective, which is going to accomplish your goals.
Right. And what I see people making the mistake here is that they put a goal or objective on their daily to-do list. And that's like, as they say, putting an elephant on your list. You can't do that today. You have to break it down. So, for instance, if your plan is to do a series of teleclasses, if you put teleclasses on your list for the day, there's no entry point because there are no tasks.
Correct.
And so, but you might have write, opt-in or sales page for teleclass, write confirmation page for teleclass, write email confirmation for teleclass, gather names to send the email to, et cetera. So it ends up that you have 5 or 6 or 7 items for that particular thing, and then you're off and running, and none of those are so big that you can't handle them.
Exactly.
Right.
And it really does eliminate the headache, or what you talked about when you talk about prioritizing your events and your time management. It really, relieves you of this awesome big pig. Like you said, it's that you don't have to look at that elephant.
Yep.
You just now have, these little mice that you need to accomplish.
Yeah. So, we've really emphasized in the club, and we'll emphasize more, this whole thing of time management, project management, et cetera. But I want to get back to more about the life-work balance, because it's interesting. When you really set the big direction, it makes it easier for you to work on the smaller things.
Correct.
You're more motivated. You're more excited. It's more of a game. So what advice would you give to people on this call that are struggling to obtain that balance? They're working too hard. They're working way too long hours. They feel like they're spinning their wheels. They're not spending enough time with their family. They're not getting exercise, not eating well. you know, all these things. Where do you start with it?
Being the master of the obvious, it's almost the classic, take a step back and look at the forest first and not the trees.
Yeah.
Because they're stuck in the woods. And, you know, as you put it, there's a lot of things. They're working hard, and again, to use the old hackneyed phrase, not smart.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is they're, and I always like to draw the analogy of in marketing, which, you know, that's both of our expertises. But, you know, in marketing, to me, marketing is common sense. Everyone knows the right things to do, but it's doing them correctly that counts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't just run out and do a press release or do a newsletter or do it. Why are you doing it? And it goes back to your life as well. So you take a step back and try and determine, why am I doing these things?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you get a sense for why you're doing them, first of all, it slows you down and gives you a really good look at the big picture. But then when you get down to the day-to-day, you're only doing those things that you absolutely need to do to accomplish the goals that you want to accomplish in life and in your business. If that answered your question, I don't know if it...
I think so, but let's get into this more deeply. I often say that independent professionals, you know, because I know them best, and I'm sure it's true for other people as well, get into what I call an activity trap. And that's sort of like being lost in the forest. That is, they're doing a lot of stuff, but is it leading anywhere? And the other thing is we're very reactive, not proactive. That is, we come into our office, we see what the emails are and what the mail is and what the calls are, and then we're just reacting to everything that's coming at us point blank. And no wonder we're frustrated.
No, absolutely. And it's, like I said, it's to what purpose?
Yeah.
And I think that's where people get lost is that, and that's why I say a lot of times, you know, to step back to your earlier questions, when I'm looking at people that are running successful businesses and yet they're unhappy because they're going, to what purpose am I doing all this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying you need to take a step back and figure out, you know, what are my goals? What is it that I'm trying to, why am I doing these things?
Well, do you find that you have people in business that really love that business, but somehow they've, just because of what their business has become, the love has sort of has gotten lost in the shuffle?
Absolutely.
Or the passion? So how does that turn around?
And they're frustrated.
Yeah.
And again, you know, not to keep beating a perfect example, I've got a CEO right now who is very frustrated. And part of the problem is this individual doesn't have a life.
Mm-hmm.
And because
or only a business life, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because all she has is the business, it becomes very frustrating every day. And, you know, what one of the things they have to do is learn to delegate a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helps you get a better life-work balance. You can't do everything.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, as I said, that's why I try and get them to take a step back going, what else in life do you want to accomplish? And then when they set those out, I'm saying, now how are we going to do that? And they look at me going, I don't have the time. And so what we then have to do is take a look at what are they doing in business to, again, getting to that alignment and setting up that life-work balance. Most times what happens is you've got to let go with some of the daily tasks that you're trying to accomplish in your business. You've got to run the business and get a hold of your life. So maybe it's bringing in a chief operating officer. You know, maybe it's bringing in a marketing director. What tasks are you involved in the business that you shouldn't be?
Gary, I wish I could bring in a chief operating officer. But that's not an... I understand for bigger companies, sure. But for independent professionals who are addressing, I think this is a very big issue. And I say that because I've probably said this in more than one teleclass. I am the poster boy for doing it myself. Right now I'm doing a project to redesign the structure of the club. And before I would have done it myself, but I actually found someone to delegate it to, and he's doing all this technical stuff that I don't understand. That's a big breakthrough for me, because basically I love to just do it all myself.
But couldn't we, if we kind of looked at it on a smaller picture, couldn't you call that individual your chief operating officer for this project?
Yeah, well, that's a way of looking at it, absolutely. You know, I declared a direction for this year in my business, and I'm probably just saying it here to reinforce it for myself, and that's the year of, that's for it to be the year of collaboration.
This is 2010?
Yes, and perhaps it's also the year of delegation. because if I want to do other workshops, if I want to take on other projects, if I want to do whatever, what I've always put it in the context of, I have to find time to do this all myself, instead of saying things like, who could help me do this? Who could be a partner? What could I delegate to my virtual assistant? And for some people, it's just making that first step of finding a virtual assistant that you can offload some things to.
Yes.
But to free up some time is what you're talking about here, so that you can have some breathing space.
Correct.
Right.
Did that answer the question? Or?
It did answer the question.
Okay.
And I'm sort of trying to answer it for myself and kind of give an example here, but...
Well, I think you were a perfect example. I mean, you did find someone to collaborate with, because it was like, I here are the things that I, Robert, wanted to accomplish in 2010. I can't do that much anymore.
Yeah. Right?
And so I need to find someone to help me do that. Like you said, it's kind of like the COO for that project. Excellent choice.
Yeah. And so instead of spending 10 hours on something, I'm spending 1 hour working with him and doing some coordinating. And of course, I'm spending some money, but if I'm more efficient, I'm making more money and putting time into things that only I can do.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know how many people on this call can relate to this whole issue, but I think it comes down to, what do I want my life to be like? How do I start to balance things?
Well, and as you mentioned, is sometimes very difficult for independent professionals. It's because most independent professionals, they went into it on their own because they wanted to do it on their own.
Yes.
And it's very, very difficult to let go with some of those tasks.
Well, it seems to be built into the job description of independent professional. First of all, we have the word independent. You know,
I'm going to do it myself.
I'm independent, so I will do it myself. And we don't work for other people because we think everyone else is a dummy and we're smart. You know, in some cases, and we're kind of arrogant about our abilities, and we're just very whatever. So it's not an easy thing to break through that. Unlike some entrepreneurs, the very first thing they find people to delegate and do stuff immediately, and I look at these people and wonder and go, holy cow, how do they do that? It's a very different mindset.
Yeah, and who's the gentleman that wrote that book, The 4-Hour Work Week?
Yeah, right. That's all about that.
Exactly.
Some of it's a bit of a fantasy, I think.
Well,
it's got some interesting ideas.
Yes, but I can never do that. And again, it's how do you measure success, and what is going to make you happy?
Yeah.
You know, part of what I actually like to do everything myself.
Yeah, well, I like, for instance, I don't want to delegate to build a company which a whole bunch of other people work with clients and I manage. That's, you know, that would be taking away the core of my business. So I want to work with people. I want to work with clients. I want to develop material, and so do you, right?
Exactly.
And yet, we have to determine those things which we could, in fact, start to delegate. So we're sort of dancing around this. I think there's a lot of ways to think of this. But what's the saying, you know, if you do your own books, how much would you hire a bookkeeper for? Well, 25 to 50 an hour. And what's your hourly rate? 150. Would you hire someone for $150 to do your books? No, I guess not. So it's going to be a lot cheaper, more efficient to hire somebody than doing it yourself. And there happens to be more things like that than you can imagine once you start looking at it.
Right. Or is it a monetary thing? Or is it, we'll take, I've been using an accountant for the 23 years that I've been in business.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it was, The monetary aspect, I didn't even look at it that way.
Yeah.
I don't want to sweat come tax time over, am I doing the right thing and how am I doing it? So you're taking a look at, again, life-work balance. In my life, I wanted to alleviate that stress. So within my business, I hired an accountant.
Yeah. And, you know, some things that people should let go of if you're an independent professional, especially around marketing, is don't try to design your own website. Ridiculous time sucker. You know, maybe find a way that you can easily update little things on your website, and more the platforms these days allow you to do it. But
right.
I've seen people put hundreds of hours into developing a site and it doesn't even look that good because they're not a good designer.
Well, I was going to say, it looks like they developed it themselves.
Exactly. It looks like a homemade site. So So it's getting back to your core competency, what you love to do, trying to focus on that, and then integrating that with everything else.
Yeah.
Now, one of the questions, you know, all the people I interview usually give me questions, and I use that as a guide, but we talked about this thing about people committed to making a difference, and I, you know, I've written a lot of e-zines about that. In fact, my last theme last year was making a contribution, and I was really, really focused on that. So, so how can using your process benefit professionals who are really committed to making a difference?
Boy, that's really an excellent question. And again, it's just, that's one of their goals.
Yeah.
And so you turn that goal into a very specific goal. And you have to put into terms of, you know, they want to make a difference. And I know this may be difficult, but how do I measure that I'm making a difference, right? So specifically, what is it that I want to accomplish, which I want to make a difference? How do I measure
that? I just got to stop you there because nobody thinks like that, and that's really brilliant. How do I, what did you say, measure?
Measure that I've actually made a difference.
That I've actually made a difference. I mean, how would you actually know? I mean, that's brilliant.
And, thank you.
Yes.
But that's part of a smart
Gary
goal.
Really is the master of the obvious. It's sort of like, yeah, how could you master that? Because we talk about making a difference, making a contribution. Well, at the end of the year, how do you know what that actually is so that you can look back and pat yourself on the back and say, hey,
exactly,
I did pretty good. In fact, maybe I even exceeded my goals.
And if I don't set that criteria, I'll never know.
Yeah. So you're really big on setting goals for everything in all kinds of areas of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where you come to the life-work balance. A good example is,
yeah,
I've always wanted to write a book.
Yeah.
And for years.
So have I, Gary.
I
wrote an online bestseller. I haven't written a hard copy publishable book yet.
Well, in your defense,
yeah,
I started three of them. And they never went anywhere.
I started 20 in my head, if that counts.
Well, no, I actually started them on, pencil and paper. And what was missing was I never planned them out.
Right.
And that's what really got me passionate about the whole planning process.
Right.
Because I planned out this last book.
Yeah.
And I followed the plan, and strangely enough, it came to fruition.
The damn thing actually worked.
Yes. And even within my time frame.
Yeah.
And I have, I don't know if that I'll share it with the people on this call, but I actually have my criteria for measuring whether or not this book will be successful in 2010. It was just published in October.
Yep.
And I had set measurements for 2010 to determine whether or not the book is going to be successful. And it's not just in book sales, because there were other things that I wanted to accomplish within my life and my business by publishing this book.
Yeah, I know
so
what you mean.
I set out the goals.
So that can help. It can help you grow your business, help you obtain bigger clients, perhaps create more
speaking engagements. Exactly.
Yeah, book is a fantastic leverage point for a lot of things that nothing else will give you. As my friend John Agin says all the time, a book is the number one measure of authority.
Strangely enough, that's a whole other topic, but you're absolutely right. And I think what really gave me the motivation to finally complete the book was I've been a public speaker for years, and getting speaking engagements is not an easy thing. And without getting names into it, I've sent out several proposals, and for one organization, I sent out a proposal, and it wasn't accepted, but I went to their conference.
Mm-hmm.
And in going to the presentations, I know 80% of the speakers there were authors.
Yeah.
And so that was it. That was finally it. I'm going, you know what? I've got to put a plan in place. I've got to get this book done.
Yeah.
So motivation helps as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, things change, things evolve, and sometimes you're just ripe for starting it, but nevertheless, you have to have clear goals. Another thing is people often have a goal for a particular activity to do something, but they really don't have a follow-through. It's sort of like, we went to Iraq, but what was the goal? What did we want to have happen in Iraq? And so
exactly.
We've been in Iraq for God knows how many years. And the same with the book. You have the goal to publish a book. Maybe you've self-published and you have 5,000 books in your basement. And that doesn't do you any good at all. So you have to have yet another goal in order to market it, leverage it, use it for whatever else, and,
absolutely,
and make it happen.
Absolutely.
So, you know, since we're on the subject of goals, you know, the thing that I see over and over is people simply don't achieve their goals, or they forget their goals, or they get off track from their goals. And it's been kind of a lifelong obsession for me to figure out how to stick with my goals. And, you know, the time management, the whole thing about the goals, objectives, strategies, tactics is very important. But what have you found in working with your clients that makes the difference whether a goal is achieved or not?
The tactics.
And really?
Having the war board.
Uh-huh.
Because now you've got a daily list of activities that need to be accomplished to accomplish those goals. You know, to back it all the way up, you've got those tactics that are there to complete the strategies. Those strategies meet those objectives, and the objectives, if they're met, achieve the goal. So it backs all the way up into it. And one of the things that I always recommend is you've got to look at, you've got to select a time frame that you're going to review that tactic board.
Sure.
So you take a look at, you know, let's say we're into, you know, March of 2010, mm-hmm. and there was a tactic that needed to be completed in February.
Right.
And you look on the war board, and it's still there, not completed. So now you've got to take a look at how has that affected my entire plan. You back it up to, there's obviously a strategy that hasn't been met, so the date for that objective needs to be changed. And you back all the way up, and you're taking now a look at, okay, that was our original goal. And, you know, plans have to be flexible, right? You can't really put them in cement. And so maybe the goal has to be modified. Maybe you still have a chance to meet the goal, but you've got to change the objective. But the daily tactics or the weekly or whatever you set up that time frame, they all tie back to those goals. So that if you really focus on that war board, you're going to accomplish your goals. You'll never get off track.
Wow, you make it sound so simple.
If you, if you follow what it is. But you know what? Life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's always going to be things that need to be changed. But if you constantly review that tactic board, it does become very simple. And as I said, it does really tie into those that priorities that you set up. You could do it that way.
I like the sound of your system. You know, it's similar to mine, except what I do is I create various project lists. Then I have a weekly list of tactics, and that filters into my daily list of tactics.
Very similar.
Yeah, and so then in any given day, I have four or five major things that I want to get done. If they don't happen to get done, I forward that to the next day. But I'm not always thinking of the 100 things I have to do, and I'm sure I have more than 100. I'm thinking of the 3 or 4 that I must get done today.
Or even the project.
Yeah.
You know, it ties back to the project, but you don't have to think about that project if it's a massive project.
Exactly.
What you can do is you relate those. The project becomes a goal if you want to, you know, tie it into my system.
Yes.
And so they're almost identical.
It's a goal unto itself to get that project done, which is part of a bigger picture, et cetera.
Correct.
So what's the name of your book, Gary?
Name of the book is Plan Your Success, Turn Your Dreams into Reality.
That's great. The first course I ever led in 1984 was called Dreams into Reality.
Oh.
So it's interesting that I'm coming back to the same subject 25 years later. So do you outline this whole process we're talking about in your book?
Absolutely.
Well, people ought to get this book, it sounds like. It sounds like a really good support to this,
and
this whole conversation. I'm going to get it.
It's very concise.
Get it too.
Well, thanks. It's very concise, which I know in this conversation it's hard to believe I could be concise, but I guess I don't write the way I speak. I'm not a big reader, and you know, we have so much information overload now, I thought, you know, how could I just get to the point so that people can pick something up and you could probably, you know, read this in 2-3 hours, but there's work pages on the back. That's where all the work comes in.
Right. So there's a whole system right there that you can work to apply. And as they say, the system that works is the one that works for you. So sometimes you'll take a few ideas from this and adapt it to whatever you have, but ultimately you've got to find a system and stick with that system.
Right. If I could, though, for just a second, back to one of your Ezines, and I know I always say it wrong. How do you pronounce it? It's Ezine?
Ezine.
Ezine. I can never
pronounce it. As in magazine.
Yeah, you had one on building marketing mansions.
Right.
which really kind of triggered me. I've been reading your e-zines for years now, which they're always great. But this one kind of just really hit me. And one of the things you talked about was, you can't keep a plan in your head. And it made me think of, there's a quote from Dwight Eisenhower. And he said, plans are useless, but planning is indispensable.
Uh-huh.
And if we can tell the listeners anything at all about, you know, today's conversation, just going through the planning process is invaluable.
Right.
And that's one thing that if you do it in your head, you just it doesn't work as well. Writing it out and seeing it in black and white really gives you a chance to look at, you know, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. But I just love that quote, plans are useless, but planning is indispensable.
Very interesting. There's a lot of pithy truths out there if we only apply them.
Right, which I thought tied in very big to your building marketing mansions.
Right.
Which is one of the things you talked about. You've got to get it written down.
Yeah. Yeah, or it's not real to you. And, I used to say this in talks. It's not very inspiring to wake up in the morning when your only goal is to just make the rent for that month.
That's a good point.
You know, that's a piece of it. You've got to make the rent of each month, but that's not a great reason for working, and that can definitely lead to burnout. Let's get back to goals and alignment for a minute. Do you have examples of goals that aren't aligned, and what do you do to get on track?
One of the really good ones I have is, again, ties back to a client of mine who was very, very big into fishing.
Okay.
And one of his goals was he was going to purchase a boat and spend weekends fishing. But the problem was, and this was the individual that had started the Dyson floppy diskettes company.
Right.
He was spending really 7 days a week working his business.
Right.
And never bought the boat, never went fishing. So he had this goal that he wanted to go fishing, but he also had this goal that he wanted to build this business.
More of a dream than a goal.
Exactly. That's all it was at that point, was a dream.
Yeah.
And so that's when I did meet with him, I said, okay, you know, let's write them out as goals. How do we accomplish it? What I was able to accomplish for this individual, what he accomplished was he looked at, yes, this is a very important dream of mine. I want to get this boat. So he came up with dates, the price of the boat, what days he wanted to spend to go fishing, because he wanted to spend more than just the weekends to go fishing, and took a look at his business, which he was driving the entire business.
Right.
And he had specific goals in that business that he still wanted to meet those goals. Well, one of the goals that we added was, getting back to the COO, to hire a COO and to hire other individuals to take over certain tasks for his business. And it really does get back to goals, because one of his goals was to own, operate, run, and then eventually sell this business on his own,
mm-hmm.
which was not possible if, before that business was sold, he also wanted to spend the weekends with his family fishing and one day a week. Wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't going to modify the I'm buying the fishing boat. That had to stay. So we had to take a look at how do we change your business goals. And so he did. And so he started to hire more people, which cut into his profits, but not enough that he still couldn't afford that boat. Because,
right.
again, we had to make sure that they align.
Sure.
If hiring those people and cutting into the profits of the corporation didn't allow them to be able to afford a boat, then we would really have a big problem.
Yeah.
Right? Because then how do you get them to align? But we did get them to align. And real long story short, he wound up selling the business. This was back in 87 for $6 million, which back then was big time.
It's big time now. It's not bad.
But in the meantime,
yeah.
before selling the business, he got the boat. He was out fishing.
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if when he was out fishing, he came back more renewed with better ideas for his business.
Strange that you would mention that.
Yeah.
One of the first planning sessions that we had, we rented a canoe and went out on the Des Plaines River, and that's where we planned it out. And that's where we came up with the fact that the business...
And he paid you for that?
not only did he pay me for that, his testimonial's on the back of my book. he's still using the process today.
Gary, that is really brilliant. So, yeah, I'm starting to get a better, bigger picture of that, and I hope everyone else is as well. It's not just about delegating and working more efficiently. It's about achieving your dreams and really having it all in balance. And that's a great example of the fishing boat and out there doing stuff. And, you know, someone told me once that people that intentionally take off more time from work than the average person make more money.
Interesting.
And I don't know, you know, the empirical statistics for that, but if we take it that may in fact be true, you know, when you force yourself to take that time off, you know, things change. Something happens, chemically changes in your body practically, you know. You have to be more efficient, effective. You have to delegate more. And then you're more rested and you can come back more fresh to your business. And then you have more creative ideas. And that's just the opposite of what we do. It's like, if I work hard, then someday I'll be able to relax. And for many people, that someday never comes.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that. I kept hemming and hawing about when you asked about examples of aligning goals and do you have any good ones. I was reluctant to use myself.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to come up with a client example. But you bring up one that really does tie into what I was able to accomplish over the last 2 years.
Right.
I struggled with, as I said, you know, writing a book. And so part of my plan was I had to take time away from the business to write this book or it wasn't going to happen. I'm one of these strange people. I need to sleep. You know, sometimes when I see all the things that you do, I wonder if you ever sleep. But
I wonder sometimes too.
but I need to sleep, and I figured out how can I can't do all three things: write the book, keep the business going, and sleep. So what I thought I would do is take some time away from the business in 2009 to finish the book.
Yeah.
And I was able to take time away from the business in 2009 to finish the book, but I still had as good a year in 2009 as I did in 2008. As a matter of fact, this was a better year. And that's right to the example. And don't ask me how that happened, but it just does. I think I was more focused, and I had the goals set out. I had my plans in place, and as you said, it's just that simple. And it worked. I worked the plan, and it worked.
But, Gary, that's impossible. We're in the middle of a recession. And yet,
don't say anything. some things still needed to get done, so
yeah.
I was able to. I still had those same clients, so.
This isn't really part of why I was going to interview you, but I can't help bring this up. This.
Why do I get the sense I'm in trouble suddenly?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I mean, here we are in economic times where. The jobs are really down. Businesses are cutting back. You know, things aren't going as well as they have in the past economically, if we look at the actual figures and measurements. And yet some businesses are doing very well. I had as good as or better year this year than last year as well. And I wonder if for people that are more goal project, you know, intention oriented and really focused on balance, if, you know, what have you seen in your clients are with this kind of process? Are they making better money? Are they doing well? Are they bucking the trends in the economy, you know, as a whole?
You know, it's interesting that, again, that you'd say that. It's very intuitive. I have a mixed bag. I have those clients that I am actually still struggling with to accept and adopt my processes.
Yeah.
That struggled this year. And those that really grabbed onto it that are doing, if they didn't stay ahead of the game, they stayed even.
Yeah.
You know, and staying even in this economy is doing very well.
Yeah, really.
But those are the ones that, as you said, you know, grabbed onto the process and to, you know, aligning their goals and having a plan in place and worked the plan.
Yeah.
And those that really struggled with that I still can't get to back out of the forest.
Yeah, it's just I still don't have enough time. I'm, you know, everything's not going well, blah, blah, blah. And they never really...
We've got to do this. We've got to do it this way. Why?
Yeah.
We just do. and that's why, that was my point earlier about, you know, taking the step back and trying to get them to take a step back of why are you doing it? When they take a look at why they're doing it, what's your goal? And I love this, and you would as well, when you get the deer in the headlights look in their face.
Yeah.
And you say, why are you doing this? And they look at you like, That's an excellent question. I don't have a clue. And, well, if it can't tie it into a goal, if there isn't a reason for doing this, we've got to stop doing it. And then they still get nervous about, no, but I have to.
Well, because it's habitual.
Yes.
And because, you know, habits let us live inside our comfort zone, and we want to be comfortable. But comfortable is not the same as being balanced and effective and happy. You know, once you get out of the comfort zone, there's another level of comfort zone that you can live in that's much better.
Yes. And those are the few clients that I had this year that struggled a bit, which
sure.
I probably shouldn't say this within this this conference, but
go ahead.
I'm drooling for next year. I've already got some strategies for these companies for next year that they're going to look at me going, wow, that's what we need to solve our problem.
Yeah.
And it's because, and again, it's just a master of the obvious. It's things that, you know, I saw why they're struggling this year, and it does lead into the process in there. And it's actually measurement. It's, you know, I want to get them to start doing some research studies to determine, you know, what is the return on some of these things. There isn't any, or there is, and if there isn't any, let's stop doing it.
Right. And then move on to the next thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a quote popped up for me as I was thinking, as we're talking here, and it's a saying that says, environment is stronger than will. And another way of saying that is when you set up the structures, when you set up the goals, when you set up the context of things, you're going to get better results than just through pure brute force of will,
right,
and working hard. And I think a lot of people that are independent professionals are, you know, they have a will, they have a direction, they have a drive, but without the context of support, collaboration, goals, coaching, all of that, it's pretty darn hard. It's like climbing up Mount Everest alone. And if you try to climb up Mount Everest alone, you will probably die.
Excellent.
Right?
Yes.
But if you create, you know,
well
you have the Sherpas, you have the guide, you have, ideally, you have teamwork and all of that, then you can get up Everest relatively easy comparatively.
Yes.
And it's the same in a tough economy. We're climbing Mount Everest. The mountain just got steeper in the last couple of years, but that doesn't mean we all have to die on the mountain. But we will die on the mountain if we just stick to our, you know, brute force will and doing it our way all the time and not stepping back and creating new systems, processes, approaches, goals, etc.
Excellent point.
And my sense is always is also the presence of you with your clients makes the difference. You know, before conversation, they have a certain attitude. After conversation, they have a new view and a new attitude,
right,
and a new possibility. So can people hire you, Gary?
Oh, absolutely.
So we'll give you a link to the site. Gary might be someone who can actually support you in achieving some of your goals.
I would love to be able to have that opportunity.
You know, I found with my clients, and also, you know, I have coaches and people that work with me, it makes all the difference because it creates that environment, that space, in which I focus on the tactics, get the plan done, look at the big picture, try to work on alignment. And it's so easy to just let all that stuff slip, isn't it?
It's the thing about the cobbler's children's shoes. You know, sometimes sometimes I'm at fault for not planning enough.
Sure.
So it really is. You get caught in life. Life always seems to get in the way. Well, I got to do this. I got to do this. But like I say, what I try and even stop myself is before I do it, ask yourself why. You know, why am I doing this?
Uh-huh.
If I can't back it up into a goal, I shouldn't be doing it.
So that's a theme that you keep coming up with. Why the heck am I doing this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I will say that's kind of a bit of a warning is because you know you and I both agreed this is a very simple process.
Yeah.
But don't let that fool you. It's a simple process. But there's hard work behind it.
Sure, definitely.
But I tell you, you know, if you put the work in, your daily activities become much easier.
Well, yeah, and, you know, something that I noticed, sometimes you have a day where you forgot to plan, or maybe you were bombarded by a whole bunch of emergencies or God knows what, and you got thrown off center. And I find myself muddling through my day, realizing I'm not going anywhere. And I don't feel good, and I don't feel energized, and I don't feel on top of things. But if I take a few minutes to focus, look at my list, look at all the stuff that I have, see what's important, take a breath, take one thing at a time, look, you know, all these things that you have to do a little more consciously, I can get back on track and have a great day.
Yes.
But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. People have bad days day after day after day because they're just kind of drifting. And so this is kind of an anti-drift formula, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm giving you marketing phrases you can keep using in your business,
Darren. you always do.
The anti-drift philosophy.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
what about workaholism? A lot of us as independent professionals are kind of workaholics, and we're, you know, just the love of work, work to work, always working. Got some ideas around that?
Yeah, well, yes, and not to dance around it, but the answer really does depend on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are quite happy with work as their major focus. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you can bring, you know, some balance to your life. I've met with several that, you know, were strict workaholics. And again, as I've mentioned before, I always recommend taking a step back and giving some thought to those things that they've always wanted to do or accomplish that they've just really never got around to and that aren't work-related. I kind of, not to be a pest with them, but I go, aren't there some things you want to do that aren't work-related? Because even though they're workaholics, there's got to be something that they've wanted to do in their life that's not work-related.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get it out of them, but there's this great revelation when they're going, well, yeah, I mean, I really always did want to go to Europe, but I don't have time. You know, why don't you have time? Well, I guess I got to work. Well, you know, let's figure out
that's
some
an endless
way.
Loop, isn't it?
Yeah, let's figure out some way that we can, you know, restructure your working life to make room for these things.
Yeah.
You know, and as I said, unless they really don't want to, I don't know that I really have, not in my lifetime, maybe you have, I've never really met anyone, even though they're a workaholic, that didn't have some things they wanted to do outside of work.
Yeah, and yet we don't let ourselves. It's funny, one of my sisters travels all the time, takes vacations, has been to a lot of places in the world. And another of my sisters works all the time, hardly takes her vacation pay, and if she does, she stays at home. She doesn't go anywhere. And I'm not saying that's bad, but it's interesting how we set up our lives, you know. So one sister is now retired and traveling, all still traveling, and the other one is still working.
Interesting.
Seems like a bit of a shame.
Well, I'm a bit of a workaholic, so again, I might be a good example. One of the things that I did, I mean, there are years where I'm on the road, and this isn't much if you look at some people. I traveled maybe 26 weeks out of the year.
Really?
And I've been
to clients.
Yes.
Wow, you got to get more local clients, Gary.
That was a goal I had one year. but you know what? What I tried to figure out was, you know, I was traveling a lot but not enjoying it.
Yeah.
So one of the things I did early on was I suggested that my wife quit her job and come with me.
Really?
And we would spend, yeah, this goes back, I think in the late 80s.
Yeah.
I was going to Washington, D.C. probably, three, four times a year.
Yeah.
Never been to the Smithsonian, you know, never went to the mall, never, I mean, I didn't do anything. You know,
yeah.
you get on a plane, you get off the plane.
Yeah, I was in so-called Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah.
A meeting room at the airport.
Exactly.
You know, what's that?
Yes, and so I was classic workaholic. I mean, and I was happy with that. That's all I was doing. And I went, you know, this is crazy.
Gets old after a while, though.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And so I brought my wife with. And we would spend the weekends wherever I was. And
yeah.
She would spend the time I was working, she would be the tour guide and figure out where we're going and then just grab me by the ear on the weekends and we'd see everything. And
yeah.
that was one way to do it, to get a little bit more life-work balance. And it really did become more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And so that's one example. If that's no, I don't know if that would work for everyone, but as I said, there may be, I have yet to come across a person that wasn't receptive to, yes, I would love to take some time away from work.
Yeah, but it's interesting that the thing that pops in so often is I don't have time. You know, and I have a saying, if you say I don't have time, you're lying to yourself. It isn't true. There's something else happening here.
Yep.
It's just an excuse. And it's an excuse that most people will buy. Oh, sure, you don't have time. I understand everybody's busy, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, would you rather have a balanced life or keep telling that excuse, I have no time? If you really look at it, you can make the time, you can find the time. As you said, you can readjust things, you can plan, you can all of a sudden discover that you took two vacations. And, you know, I do have one person in my business called my travel director.
There you go.
Also called my wife.
It sounds familiar.
And my wife is the travel director for our life. So she loves to take vacations. And so, you know, she's always planning vacations. And I say, look, as long as it doesn't overlap with major things I'm doing, no problem, because I find a way to do it. And
but as you said earlier, there's always ways to avoid it as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the problems with a workaholic, is they're figuring out ways to avoid things in life because they would rather work. They're more comfortable in that environment. And I think what they haven't exposed themselves to is how much fun there can be outside of work.
Oh, yeah. And that it's a point that, it's hard to express unless you've done it. You bring that back to your work in a renewed way. It's not that you are escaping from work. It's that you are renewing yourself from work. You know, for instance, it could be a lot of things. You could go to a seminar. You know, going to a seminar, even a business seminar that's good, is a real break from ordinary day-to-day work, and you can come back with great ideas. You can go, what did we do? We did a home tour someplace, I can't remember where it was, and we saw all these different houses, and we got some great ideas of how to remodel our house. You go to Europe and see how people are much more relaxed, and they're having coffee at the cafes in Paris and stuff like that. And you say, hey, that might be nice to go out to coffee a bit more. I mean,
exactly.
It gives you a richer life.
And one of the things I try and get workaholics to do is turn off your cell phone once in a while.
Yeah.
And they almost go into withdrawal. How can I do that? I mean, that's my link to my life.
Yeah.
And again, that's where that 4-hour work week, some of those things in there are kind of nice to read going, if you just take just a grain of that and don't take it to the extent that he took it to, but, you know, turn off your cell phone at 6 o'clock at night. See what it's like to spend some time with your family instead of worrying about when the cell phone is going to ring.
How about the Great Satan television?
but it could work.
Yeah. So you've given us a lot of things to look at, and as you say, you know, it's pretty simple. So simple, but nevertheless hard work, but fun work. You know, when I'm planning and stuff, I really feel I'm doing something productive. I'm moving forward. I'm oriented. I'm focused.
It's really rewarding.
I'm playing the game. It feels rewarding. And then if I have a good week or a good day, which is been my experience, especially in the last December, has just been a great month for me. You know, now I can take a week off for Christmas, and I don't feel guilty. I'm all caught up. Everything is done. It's a great feeling, and I can have balance.
It's a plan.
It is a plan.
I can't move in the morning without my daily to-do list.
Right.
Which all comes off of my plan.
Right, exactly.
And I look at that. I know what my day is got. I know basically how much time it's going to take to do those certain things. I can get I can let life get in the way without getting very nervous about it.
Yeah,
although
exactly.
I say that sometimes I still do, but in a lot of times you don't realize how little time some of those tasks are going to take you. I mean, you look at those tasks going, how am I going to accomplish all this? When you just get down and start doing it, it gets done.
Yeah.
But if you don't plan it out, it'll never get done.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing that in some ways I found most valuable about this whole conversation with you, Gary, is, you know, there's all the business goal and efficiency and accomplishing all of this, and which is very, very important. But it's the planning of the personal things and really trying to align that with your business goals. And I think a lot of people have a hard time with that, and that is really a big, big, big thing that is not just making you more efficient, making you more money. It's changing the quality of your life.
Absolutely. And I would take American business is guilty for not letting us focus on that. All the focus has always been on business plan, business strategic plan, the corporate plan.
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing with the business? And it's never, why am I, in whether you're working for a company or if you're an independent professional, what you really have to ask yourself is, why am I in business in the first place?
Right.
And if it's strictly just to build a successful business, well, that's great. But there's usually something in your life that you're trying to accomplish, and that's why you've started the business.
Right.
And that's all I really ask people to do is take a step back and determine, what is it? And it's very interesting, Robert, how many clients I have that have never really taken the time to figure out what it is that they want to accomplish in their personal life with the business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very powerful. And also, I think this has given some people, whether they're consultants or coaches, a bit of a tool that they can start using with some of their clients, because I was impressed by some of the breakthroughs you had when you started to talk about those personal goals and the balance, whereas they were sort of stuck in a place of, in a stagnant kind of place, just trying to work harder and harder and harder, that they had to get off that treadmill and go in a different way. And that was revealed to them by working on their personal goals and their personal desires. Like
right.
The guy who got the boat and ended up selling his company for $6 million.
And he's had four companies since.
Really?
He has used the process. He calls himself a buyer and seller.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So he gets business, gets it working, and takes time. Still, is he using his boat?
Yep.
That's great.
I've got pictures on Facebook to prove it.
Yeah.
He's
so
still out there fishing.
Yeah, you're painting a picture of a much more balanced, happy, fulfilling lifestyle, and it all starts with this focus of these goals and really balanced.
And just, again, another personal example, one of the personal goals I had was to write a book, whether it was going to be a novel or a business book, I didn't care.
Sure.
it's done, and I can't tell you how many times I just sit back and smile and enjoy whatever I'm doing more because I've realized I have fulfilled a personal goal.
Yeah.
It's very powerful to be able to turn your dreams into reality, not to coin a phrase off of a book somewhere, but
yeah.
It really is powerful, and it helps every day.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fun conversation. And
I enjoyed it tremendously. I hope that it's helped everybody that's been part of the call.
I hope so. So you have some things to do from this call, writing those goals, thinking of your balance. Your best friend is a paper and a pen, to get those ideas out of your head and start to turn them into reality. It really starts with that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It really does. As I said, you look at it in black and white, and it really gives you an idea of it. It's almost validation. Does this even make sense? And then you read it back to yourself going, how could I have thought of that?
Yeah.
And so you start modifying your goals, start modifying your plans.
Yeah.
It's really tough to modify. Like I said, how did you put it? You phrased it a lot better than I did. Planning in your head is a reason for a headache? How did you?
Yeah, or creates headaches.
Creates headaches, and it does.
Yeah. Whereas if you plan it on paper, it's literally transferring your brain to paper.
Absolutely.
Part of your brain,
yep.
All that memory stuff. You don't have to have that all in your brain. Anyway, we could make side comments on this all day. It looks like there's so many little subtleties and realizations and understanding. So we'll leave it to everyone that's been on the call to get to work, start planning for their year, and make it the best year you possibly can. Don't let yourself be sucked into this whole conversation about the bad economy. Plan your way out of it. Create your way out of it. Work your way out of it and have fun with it. And I hope in the club we can be part of that, supporting you in that. So, Gary, I really want to thank you. I appreciate the time you took for making the difference that you're making.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Have a happy holiday and happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.